Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is game time on this Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. You are locked into WKAR's current sports. I'm the captain of this ship, the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. And we've got a busy Tuesday of current sports coming right to your ear. A lot to get to, folks. Very busy day. Of course, this week, Michigan State football resumes action inside of Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon, taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. Penn State getting that win over the Michigan Wolverines at home this past Saturday. Mark D'Antonio, who did not have a weekly press conference last week because Michigan State was on a bye, did resume his weekly presser this morning inside of the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center, the north end zone of Spartan Stadium, as Coach D previewed Penn State a bit. He talked about what has gone down with his program when it comes to performing below expectations. Also addressed the transfer portal and the amount of players on his football team that have decided to say goodbye to East Lansing and take their respective football talents elsewhere. How big of a concern is it in the eyes of Coach D? Well, you will get the opportunity to hear from Coach D in just a moment. All right, we'll play a bit of that press conference for you. Also, some breaking news that Spartan fans, I know, aren't happy about. This kind of took everybody by surprise as Tom Izzo took the podium and talked about Michigan State men's basketball and delivered some bad news when it comes to one of the foundational players of this team, Josh Langford. I'll pass that news along to you guys in just a moment. You'll get my reaction to that news and what it means for the 2019-2020 MSU men's basketball squad. If you haven't heard, that squad has been ranked number one in the top 25 AP preseason college basketball poll for the first time. More on that story in just a moment. But, yeah, some bad news concerning Josh Langford. Also, later on this hour, as promised on the Monday edition of Current Sports, we will welcome to the show now the former vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite, Jeremy Sampson, as Sampson will join me here on the show to talk about what led to the franchise going one and done. After just one season, Lansing Ignite has folded, and we move on with life. It's a bit disappointing, though, because I really believe that this community rallied behind this effort. Many Lansing Ignite fans came out and supported this team over time, but owner Tom Dixon, he held a press conference around this time yesterday addressing why he decided to pull the plug, why the franchise pulled the plug. You'll get the take of Sampson on today's Current Sports. And then on the back end of the show, we'll try to talk some NFL and address the Detroit Lions falling to the Minnesota Vikings. And it feels like Christmas for me, folks. I love this day, one of my favorite days in sports. On the sporting calendar, the NBA resumes regular season action. I love saying that. I'm a huge NBA guy, and I will be glued to my TV each and every day. I got my NBA league pass ready. I got my fantasy basketball team all set. I love the NBA. And play resumes today. But I'll explain why this year is a bit different. All right? So, a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to watch the live stream there and comment below that video like a few of you are already doing. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's just get this breaking news out the way, folks. As I just mentioned, Tom Izzo held a press conference today addressing his basketball program. And Josh Langford has been ruled out indefinitely. Izzo got a bit emotional when talking about Josh today, saying, quote, "I love Josh Langford. He's given me everything on the court, off the court, in the classroom." He got you could tell Tom Izzo, he held back tears when delivering this news to us all. So Langford ruled out indefinitely through January. So this foot injury that he's had, it's resurfaced and just not great news. Now, I don't think this is, you know, a panic situation. Nobody's hitting the panic button right now. But you're kidding yourself if you're looking at this story, if you're hearing this story and saying to yourself, this is not a big loss. This is a big loss for MSU men's basketball. But very talented team. This news, if it's going to happen, thank goodness it happened now before the season so that Izzo can prep for it, so that his players can wrap their heads around this news and figure things out from here. But this is a big loss. And Josh, one of my favorite guys, man. He is just the definition of the all-around athlete. As you heard Izzo, as I quoted Izzo in saying, I mean, he handles his business in the classroom and on the basketball court and just is a good young man. So, again, Josh Langford out indefinitely with foot problems. He will be re-evaluated in January. More on that story. I'm sure you guys have reaction to it. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right. To some MSU football news, in three seasons from 2013 to 2015, Mark D'Antonio, he won 36 of 41 games and two Big Ten championships. He got to major bowl games in three consecutive seasons, earned wins in the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. Ah, the glory years. And on February 19th of 2016, Michigan State announced it had reached an agreement with Coach D on a new version of its six-year rollover contract that included a more than $600,000 raise in his annual pay to $4.3 million. It also included the prospect of one of the largest one-time lump sum bonuses in college football, a $4.3 million payment, quote, in recognition for his long service to the university if he remained with the Spartans through January 15th of next year. So if Coach D is fired or retires before January 15th, He is not due the $4.3 million. He would receive a $7 million buyout. Antonio's one-time payment is due around the same time he is expected to be deposed in court for his dismissal with former staff member Curtis Blackwell. So that's an interesting layer to this year's Michigan State football chapter, right? I may have more thoughts on that later on if I have time. All right. MSU men's basketball, as I also mentioned, will enter the 2019-2020 season ranked as the number one team in the country in the preseason poll released by the Associated Press yesterday. This is the first time in program history that MSU has opened the season as the preseason number one team in the country. MSU received 60 of 65 first place votes and 1,619 points to land the number one ranking in the preseason. Kentucky, with two first place votes, was ranked number two, while Kansas, with three first place votes, is number three. Duke and Louisville round out the top five teams, respectively. And to kick off the beginning of the Big Ten Women's Basketball Media Week, the conference released the preseason coaches and media polls in addition to the preseason All-Big Ten teams yesterday. And Michigan State Women's Basketball redshirt senior guard Shay Colley earned preseason All-Big Ten honors for the second straight season. That's awesome stuff. The Spartans were voted to finish second by the Big Ten coaches and third by the media. This was MSU's highest preseason ranking since being voted to finish second by the coaches prior to the 2016-17 campaign. I really love watching Shay Colley play, and I'm looking forward to seeing her ball out for the team this upcoming year. All right, the Michigan State men's golf team played its final 18 holes of the fall yesterday with the third round of the Quail Valley Intercollegiate in Vero Beach, Florida. The Spartans shot a 3-under par 285 yesterday and entered the tournament 18-under par 846, which put them in 7th place in the 14-team tournament at Quail Valley Golf Club. Shout-out to Casey Lubon, and I actually have a session with Casey coming up where he is going to help me improve my swing, and that may be a segment for Current Sports on Facebook. We may make that a video feature. That should be fun. So shout-out to Casey, though, and the MSU men's golf team. I mean, not like Al Woods needs help with his swing. I'm just saying, no, we can all improve somewhere, right? All right, MSU. Wrong. Hey, I'm telling you, Jack, Al Woods, you ain't seen him next. You ain't seen him.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
All right, MSU men's soccer will conclude non-conference action against in-state rival Oakland today. So you get some MSU men's soccer action at 7 p.m. at the Oakland soccer field. So the Spartans on the road. The game will be senior night for the Grizzlies. MSU is now 3-7-3 and holds a 3-1-1 record in the Big Ten Conference. Oakland 6-6-2, 4-1-0 in Horizon League play. Now, last time out, the Spartans showed their offensive power, defeating Ohio State 3-1 on Alumni Day this past weekend. Three different Spartans found the back of the net. The Detroit Red Wings are in action tonight against the Vancouver Canucks inside of Little Caesars Arena. That will be a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. Vancouver holds a 5-3-0 record. The Wings hold a 3-5-0 record. Also, the World Series begins tonight. Exciting, exciting stuff here as the Washington Nationals will take on the Houston Astros at Houston. Game one, first pitch scheduled for 8:08 p.m. Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer in game one tonight. And the NBA season begins tonight. Again, it's like Christmas for me, folks. The New Orleans Pelicans, despite the fact that Zion Williamson is going to miss at least 2 months, he's got to lose weight. I think we all know that by now. That's a lot of weight on those joints. He had to have surgery on a torn meniscus, so he will not be in action for New Orleans tonight as the Pelicans take on the Toronto Raptors. And, of course, the Raptors look a bit different, seeing as though their superstar coming off that championship year that was last season, Kawhi Leonard, decided to take his talents to L.A. No, not the Lakers, but the L.A. Clippers. So Pelicans, Raptors lacking some luster there, but I'll be watching 8 p.m. That's when tip time is for that game. And then after that one, the L.A. Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, making their respective regular season debut together on the hardwood at Staples Center, taking on the L.A. Clippers. As I mentioned, Kawhi Leonard pairing up with Paul George. Paul George will not play tonight, though.
He is dealing with an injury, so I wish he was playing. And then we all know about Kawhi Leonard and his load management, right? So still, though, the L.A. Lakers will be the most entertaining team to watch this season. And it's going to be a battle for L.A. It's going to be interesting to see who owns the Staples Center throughout the regular season as well. So tip time for that one, 10:30 p.m. Thank goodness the NBA is back. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we have Jeremy Sampson scheduled to be a part of the hour, the former vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite. He'll tell us from his perspective what led to Ignite hanging up the cleats after just 1 year. So Sampson will join me in about 15 minutes. In a moment, we'll play a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say during his weekly press conference. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk some Lions and NBA, all right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Facebook.com/WKAR News. Join the fun on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Hey folks, the big news of the day out of the camp of Michigan State Athletics is that Josh Langford is done, at least until January, when he will be reevaluated. This foot is still bothering him, and the reaction from you all is a somber one. I mean, if you just type in Josh Langford into that search bar on Twitter, many of you just feel for this guy. I mean, how can you not? He's such a great, great person. He is a great ambassador for Michigan State men's basketball and Michigan State athletics as a whole. And now he suffers yet another setback when it comes to his recovery in trying to get on the basketball court and just play the game he loves. At Nick Bradley, I will give Josh Langford my foot. He just has to ask. Then you got a lot of memes out there from people just showing frustration. A lot of please take my foot out there at Run Little Giants. Please take my foot, Josh Langford. And then people just shocked, like, is this, you know, people asking if, is this news real? Is this, you know, confirmed? And yeah, this came right out of the mouth of Tom Izzo during his press conference this afternoon at Terra Stafford. Quote, I am so sick for Josh Langford, the poor guy. He does not deserve this. So, and yeah, Izzo got very emotional. You know, Izzo is, you see him on television, and yeah, he can be hard-nosed and in your face, but he is an emotional guy who cares dearly for his athletes, especially one like Josh Langford, who does it the right way. Izzo tried his best. He held back tears. He was very emotional. He tried his best not to just completely sob up there at the podium. So, and again, this took place just a bit after Mark D'Antonio addressed the media in preparation for Michigan State and Penn State on Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. So I want to hear your thoughts and your reaction on Michigan State men's basketball losing Josh Langford at least until January. 517-355-WKAR. I'm going to read a few of your comments coming in, courtesy of our Facebook page as well at facebook.com/WKAR News, because this is a loss. You know, again, as I stated to reiterate, you know, if you're sitting there saying, well, hey, we'll be fine. You know, we got a talented team. There's talent everywhere. You know, it is a next man up mentality, but you're kidding yourself if you're saying that this is not a loss and this isn't going to hurt this team, all right? What I want to do right now, because of time, we're on a really tight schedule today because, again, in 10 minutes, we are scheduled to have Jeremy Sampson a part of the hour. What I want to do right now, like we do each and every Tuesday when he does have a press conference, Mark D'Antonio, who didn't have one last week because of the bye, he spoke to the media this week in preparation for Penn State. Here's a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say when it comes to this season and when it comes to that prep for the Nittany Lions.
Over here, yeah. KJ Hamler was a guy I know you – guys targeted in recruiting. Is this the sort of game breaker sort of guy you suspected from him? And do you feel like your offense right now is kind of missing that aspect, a guy who can go the distance like that and really turn a game around real quick?
Well, you know, KJ's a guy that is coming off a knee injury his senior year. We offered him, you know, recruited him hard and all that. He was at Orchard Lake. They went to IMG. Really like KJ as a person as well. But he's been a dynamic player for them, especially the last couple of years. I think us losing Jalen Naylor for a time period is a guy like that, you know. But KJ's been extremely productive. We look for that type of production from our guys as well. So I guess the answer to your question, we're getting some plays out of some of our guys, Daryl Stewart and different things, but KJ's a guy that's been electrifying thus far and has been a guy that can go the distance. So we've got to play.
Mark, with the, obviously you said a disappointing performance at Wisconsin, what was the sense you got from your guys over the bye week as far as what you were working on to move forward after back-to-back losses where you obviously weren't where you wanted to be?
Well, you know, I mean, young people are resilient. That's the first and foremost that you see in them. You know, they came back on you know, again, we're working on health, we're working on strength, we're working on a lot of different components, you know, practicing, refocusing, those type of things. But young people have always been resilient, but they believe very strongly in themselves. I didn't sense any kind of, you know, certainly there's disappointment, but people get up off the ground quick around here, and that's what you have to do. If you're going to succeed in the next step, and you better get your mind right and get back up. And that's been the message from day one around here since we've walked in. And I think that's the message in every program across the country. Now, can you do it or not is the next question. But you've got to first and foremost have that mentality that you've got to step forward. And so that's what we've tried to do here. We've maintained a positive approach. And we're trying to fix the things that we can fix and change the things we cannot.
Mark, you had a lot of success against Penn State. In some ways, it's sort of the opposite of what Northwestern maybe for a time had against you guys. Is there anything to a matchup, a program, as you play a team over time, year after year, when things start to work, or any similarities you've seen in any of those games?
Well, they've all been, I think pretty much they've all been relatively close. I think 15 and 16 probably were not, even though in both of those games, the game was relatively close at halftime or after, even in 15, and then things happened with turnovers or whatever the case, and those games got out of hand a little bit, but prior to that, they've been close games. I don't know. I think they enjoy coming and playing in our atmosphere, and we enjoy going and playing in theirs, quite frankly, and I think our guys got up for it, and we just try and take a positive approach, as I said earlier, and we played well against them, so our confidence should be there. You've got to make plays on the field. And you've got to have a plan that works and all that kind of stuff, so it's all comprehensive. But you know, I don't know if I can answer that question other than we have, you know, we've won the last two, and I think we're 4-1 in the last five games. So we need to build on that and try and be 5-1.
Mark, you mentioned getting a bunch of players back, and when Kevin Jarvis went down about a month or so ago, he used this game as a possible returning point for him. I'm just curious where he may be in his recovery process.
Which guy?
Kevin Jarvis.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about guys who aren't really on the depth chart in that respect. He's not on the depth chart yet. I don't think he is.
Given the losses that you guys have sustained in the 2016 class, you talked about recruiting. How much does that influence how you approach recruiting this cycle? And also, how hard is that to have those kind of losses when you have the recruiting restrictions and limitations towards assigning class 25 guys?
We've always been in under the limit in 25 guys, so we've always, we've never, you know, we've always recruited, you know, 18, 20, 22, that kind of stuff. We've really never gone over that number. It's disappointing. The 16 class is disappointing that we lost guys, and that, but there's reasons and individual reasons for all those things happening. And the only thing that I can say is, you know, you need to push forward. As far as how we recruit, we're trying to recruit as best we can in every respect.
Mark, over here again. What was your reaction when you saw the Illinois-Wisconsin result, and did you see any of the game?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. I would say emotion plays a big part in every football game, and you can see the emotion, and you can see a game start to change a little bit, and people start to have a little bit more belief. And you know, they were 30 and a half point underdogs, and it gave you the notion that you know, anybody can rise up at any point in time.
Mark, excuse me. I believe it's six players now that have in the transfer portal since the start of the season. Do you internally, is that number, I guess, concerning to you, or do you just kind of see this as the new norm? And on top of that, specifically with Cam Chambers, he made a comment on social media about whether or not his law school aspirations and stuff sort of got in the way of football and everything. I guess, is there anything you could say to whether that part of his studies affected why we didn't see him as much on the field?
First of all, I'm going to take the high road in terms of the transfer portal. There's a lot of young men in the transfer portal right now, and you know, if you can break it up by schools, you can break it up by position, you can break it up by year, and it all sort of sorts itself out. It goes in a lot of different directions. But I think it's the new norm. Sad to say, I think it's the new norm that we'll see in college football. I think it's a little bit, you know, there's a different reason for everybody making these decisions. But I think in the end, it's about opportunity to play in a lot of ways. It's about patience at times, you know, for younger players, or for older players. It's about, you know, trying to move forward with their careers. I've had individual talks with every person that decided to go in there, you know, tried to put the other side of the story there, you know. So my take on it at all is always going to be take the high road, wish the best for those individuals as they move forward in their football careers, and then try and make ourselves better, to be quite honest with you. When your scholarship opens up, you know, you try and make yourself better. You try and improve your quality of play. And some guys have played for us and are looking for bigger roles. Some guys, quite frankly, haven't played for us and are looking for opportunity to play elsewhere. And that's the way it's gone. And it's probably the way it goes for everybody in America right now. So it's one of those things that I think is probably here to stay, and you have to deal with it as a head football coach and as a staff. You really have to look at recruiting and say, okay, you have a guy that's responsible for the portal. I think that, you know, today when I looked at it, there were 344 names in there. So that's a lot of people. You know, now, where are all those people going to go? I'm not quite sure, as I said earlier one day. But, you know, I do the best I can and take the high road in this capacity, and I appreciate what those guys did for us when they were Spartans. Go from there.
Mark, you speaking of the depth chart, I know Michael Fletcher was injured earlier in the year, mm-hmm. but now I see his name, Adam Burghorst, in a couple places. Is this a sign that it's just as freshmen developing and you're getting toward that point in the season where you can use them, or like they're ready, or should we expect to see more guys like that?
Well, Michael Fletcher's been out. He had a foot injury, so he's back in pads now. He's been back. He was back last week as well. He was a guy that looked exciting initially in camp. So he's back now. How much he'll play will depend on how well he practices this week and that type of thing, depth issues and things of that nature. But I think he will be active on the sidelines and he'll travel. You know, Parks Gissinger was moved to tight end. He's been doing a good job. And then also Adam Burghorst is a tight end in high school. He's a big 6'7", 262-pound guy. So he's working at that position as well and shows great promise. And he's a redshirt freshman, but I'm still saying that he's a dual guy. He's played defensive end. And he's a dual guy, so he'll get opportunities to look at both ends of the spectrum, but we'll list him in both areas right now.
Mark, with the earlier talk about the, you know, transfers maybe being the new norm, it was a lot in there, but you guys did have quite a few in a short span of time, coupled with two pretty tough losses. I wonder if you took any time or felt the need to during the bye to maybe talk to the team to stabilize this or make sure that it doesn't get, you know, carried away or anything.
No, I don't talk about it. I keep marching forward. That's what we've done.
Mark, I assume that when you have a lot of good wins or important wins, you hear from a lot of former players. I'm curious if the opposite is true. Like the last few weeks, have you heard from guys, and maybe if so, what some of those messages have been?
Yeah, you hear from people to just hang in there, keep pushing. You hear from a lot of different people, whether they're former players or whether they're, you know, they're people within our program or donors or past coaches or things of that nature. So,
Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team. Just a bit of what he had to say this morning, hitting on many, many different topics there as Michigan State prepares to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions on Saturday afternoon inside of Spartan Stadium. And for me, what really jumped out was what he had to say concerning the transfer portal. There were three different questions that I counted addressing how many players have entered the transfer portal from Mark's program. Mark did a great job of, as he put it, taking the high road and saying that, yeah, this is a new reality in college football, but we must press forward. We're not going to concern ourselves with it. Those who want to be here and work and try to win football games, that is what we are going to place our focus on. But it is a new reality. And I do believe that coaches across the board here in the nation are dealing with this new reality. And you have to adjust. Simple as that. So that's the right mentality to have. And we'll see if Michigan State can pull up a major upset this Saturday, but it's going to be very, very tough. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we are scheduled to have, via phone, now the former vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite, Jeremy Sampson, will join me live here on Current Sports to talk about Lansing Ignite going one and done. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. You know, Jack, I didn't even address this during our quick hit headliners, probably because it was such an afterthought, and I turned it off after the second quarter and went to the gym, actually. But the New England Patriots mollywhopping the New York Jets last night. Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts. He had five turnovers, interception after interception. That was just ugly. But I believe the final of that game, 33-0 last night. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did see that Mohamed Sanu is now a member of the New England Patriots. So just a day after, not even 24 hours after, they beat the New York Jets. They're already looking at how they can improve their wide receiver core, and they pick up Mohamed Sanu. That's Bill Belichick at his finest, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm in the same boat as you. I was at the gym for the whole first half, didn't even bother watching it. You know, it was on TV at the gym, and I just saw it was 24-0, and I didn't really have a whole lot of interest in watching that. But yeah, Mohamed Sanu got traded to the Patriots earlier today in exchange for a second-round pick. Really great for the Patriots, and more importantly, great for my fantasy team, as I have Calvin Ridley on the Atlanta Falcons, and he will now, you know, seemingly see increased targets and snaps because Mohamed Sanu is no longer in that wide receiver room.
There you go. All right, good for your fantasy team, and great for the New England Patriots. I just book him in the Super Bowl now, man. I don't see anybody in the AFC challenging the New England Patriots. I hope I'm wrong.
I think the Colts would have if Andrew Luck wouldn't have retired.
Right. That they had some hope.
That's about the only one, because the Chiefs don't play defense.
And now you got, Patrick Mahomes is hurt. He's going to play at like 75% whenever he does come back. And you got that defense. It's just so bad. So, yeah. Tom Brady and the Pats, they just continue to keep on, keep on keeping on, man. They are an amazing, amazing team. Okay. I want to get to our guest for today's current sports. It has been one of the biggest stories here in the Lansing area for the past week and some change. And while I was on the air yesterday, the owner of Lansing Ignite, he held a press conference to address why the professional soccer club, after 1 year, was calling it quits. After just one season at Cooley Law School Stadium in downtown Lansing, unfortunately, Lansing Ignite is one and done. And, we had Marshall Hollingsworth on the show near the end of last week to give us some insight as to why this move was happening. Marshall told of a Monday morning meeting that took place with the players in which the news was delivered to them. Marshall said he stood up and said some words that he couldn't say on the radio. but it's very unfortunate. And I shot a text to the vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite, the man who has been the brainchild of bringing professional soccer to the Lansing area, and in my estimation, has done a fantastic job. But to provide further clarification as to how we got to this point, we now invite Jeremy Sampson to WKAR's Current Sports. Jeremy, welcome to the show. I wish it was under different circumstances, my man.
Hey, good afternoon, Al. Me too. But appreciate you having me on for a couple minutes.
Definitely. Let's just dive right into it, Jeremy. From your perspective, how did you all arrive to this conclusion, and when did those conversations begin that this would probably be the final year after just one season for Ignite?
And I think a lot of that would need to be answered by Tom Dixon as to really when, he was taking a look at the books, and I think doing so very closely and understanding, where things didn't look like they could continue. I think it was, late June, early July, as we underwent some changes in the front office, that I first started to notice maybe some red flags that things were not going well. But again, at the end of the day, that was the responsibility for the continuation of the franchise rests with the owner, who's Tom Dixon in this point. And so really that call was his to make.
Definitely. So when it comes to the possible continuation of the franchise, that was more so, like you just stated, Jeremy, in the hands of owner Tom Dixon then, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he was, as the owner, he had that decision to make to whether, he wanted to continue on for a second year, and it became, pretty clear as we moved further along down the season that wasn't going to be the case.
Jeremy, I want to ask this. You mentioned how when looking at certain things, you did notice some red flags. Was there at all a miscommunication when it came to the realistic expectations in the first year for Ignite? Because, we have been having conversations here on Current Sports, and usually when you're starting up a franchise, a lot of times you're going to be in the red maybe those first few years. That's just the reality of it. So was there a miscommunication when it came to those expectations or no? Oh, do we have Jeremy? Is Jeremy there?
At what those finances.
Oh, Jeremy, I don't know if you can hear me, but you're cutting out on us. Jack, not sure.
All wanted to have as many people come to our games as we could, and clearly we didn't have as many as we thought that could attend. But when you take a look at what happened with the franchise now from the very beginning, we just had a very short runway to really have a lot of success. We didn't put ourselves in the best scenario that we could to have success. We announced the franchise in late October and started kicking soccer balls in February. And if you think about all the things that you need to do behind the scenes, from hiring the front office staff to hiring coaches to finding players to getting your brand out there, marketing, selling season tickets, selling corporate tickets, selling group tickets. There just wasn't a lot of time to get that done. And those are the things that I really think that we could have improved on if there was going to be a year number two.
Definitely. And forgive us, Jeremy, but for some reason you cut out at the very beginning when I asked that question. Can you just repeat the very beginning of what you stated? I'm sorry, my man.
Yeah, no, there were some funny things going on the phone. I was like, I don't know if this is, if this is hanging up on me or not. So
technology.
I'm
going
to keep talking until somebody tells me not to.
There we go, right.
I think what I stated was, you know, there were reasons, I think, that we weren't able to have the level of success that was expected from attendance. And I know that 4,000 number has been thrown out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I just think that there are a lot of reasons that we weren't able to get to that point.
Gotcha. And that makes, yeah, I totally understand that. And, you know, for you, Jeremy, can you kind of set the scene? Because, you know, again, we had Marshall on last week, and I know it must have been a very, very somber and unnerving mood to be in that team meeting with the squad, as you and Nate Miller, head coach Nate Miller, and, you know, team president Nate Greaser, you guys delivered the news to the squad. What was that team meeting like? It had to be pretty emotional, right?
It was. It was very emotional. I mean, I think you even rewind a couple of days and you go back to the semifinal match that we lost, and when that final whistle went, there were a few of us that knew that final whistle meant more than just the end of a match and the end of a season. It meant the end of a franchise. And the emotions that the room felt on that day, and the people in the room who did know felt, again, not all the players knew that. You fast forward a couple of days and telling the players what the future held for the club. And it was up to Nick Greaser, the president, to deliver the message to the team. And he did that. I think there was just so much surprise and shock in the room. There were a few of the veteran players like Marshall, who you had on, who have seen these situations before in professional soccer and maybe were a little bit more prepared than some of the first-year pros that we had, who rightfully so never thought about the business side of what was happening. They were just focused on trying to win games, as they should have. But, you know, as they're learning in pro sports, there's a business side to that as well. So it was somber. It was sad. And there were some comments that from some players who were unhappy at the same time. So there was a mixture of kind of all those emotions.
Definitely. And you know, one of the points that Marshall made was, you know, some of these players and a lot of the staff even have, you know, uprooted and moved here to the Lansing area to be a part of this organization. Jeremy, for you as the general manager and vice president, what kind of conversations have you had with players and staff about this news?
Well, I think more than anything else, we just wanted the players to know that, you know, the coaching staff and myself would do whatever we could to help them find their next landing spot. And that kind of became the focus. You know, and rightfully so, their minds started thinking toward what's next for me. And so for us just to be there for them, to let them know that we would do whatever we could to help them and whatever their next venture might be with whatever team that might be, and let them know that we would be there to support them in any way we can.
And how is that coming along, Jeremy? Have you already found some other homes for a few of your players?
Yeah, not yet. It's too early in the process, really, Al. This thing works is, you know, clubs have until the end of November to really make final determinations on what they want to do with players. I don't know if we talked about it before, but all of our guys are either on a one-year contract or a one-plus-one, and that second year in the one-plus-one was a club option. So that's what gives clubs a time frame of November to find out what they want to do and how they want to move forward. So a lot of clubs are finishing their seasons, whether it was League One, that's all done now, or championship teams, or they're in the playoffs now. So those teams are really kind of doing a deep dive into themselves and understanding where they want to go and move forward. And I know there are conversations that are being had, but at this point, that's about it.
Jeremy Sampson, former vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite. Jeremy, you know, you said on your Facebook page yesterday, I really liked your post. And, you know, at the end of you expressing how saddened you are that this ride is coming to an end for Ignite, you said, quote, "I would rather have tried and failed than to have never tried at all." Jeremy, I hope you don't feel like a failure in this, do you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I do. And there's a lot of people around who, like yourself, had said, you know, there's no way you should feel like that. But when you, you know, I started Lansing United 6 years ago, and at the time Al didn't have any kind of aspirations to take it professionally, but things changed within the U.S. soccer landscape, and new leagues formed, and it looked like a city like Lansing could have a professional team and could support it. So when you just go through something for a year and then it doesn't work out, it does feel like a failure. And, you know, I take responsibility for my side and my piece of the organization that I wasn't able to do more to help the bottom line and to attract more people. And there's a lot of people that have to bear that responsibility. So, but I stand by what I said. I would rather have given it a shot just to see what could happen versus always playing the what-if game and saying, well, what if I would have done that? Would it have worked? Would it have not? I mean, at least we can hold our head high and say that we gave it a shot. We gave it the best chance with the parameters that we had and the timing that we had to make the best of the organization and give this city something special, something different. And I am glad that we did it.
Definitely. Very well said, Jeremy. And you know, you've helped grow professional soccer fandom here in the Lansing area immensely. Where do you go from here, Jeremy, when it comes to that? Any new ideas? I know you still have Lansing United. What's going through your brain right now as far as your goals and ambitions?
Well, from a soccer standpoint, we're going to keep the Lansing United women going. You know, I started that club a couple years ago and did so primarily because I have a daughter that plays. She's a sophomore in high school, and I wanted her to make sure that she knew that she would have a place where she could play in the summer just like the guys did, and that there are outlets out there for female players just like there are for men's players. And that's really why I started that organization, is for her and for other young female players in the area so that they could have a place to go. So that will continue. As far as Lansing United men, I think that's really still up in the air, Al, as to what's going to happen from that respect. You know, as you know, even running those organizations, it was like a labor of love for me. It was a second job, if you will. I always had a regular 9-to-5 job, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in the starting point of searching for a new position right now, and we'll see what comes of another men's team. If I'm completely honest, you know, this process and what we've been through has taken a lot of starch out of me personally. And I think that there's some other people in town that have some ideas of ways that we can continue having some high level soccer, whether it's in the summer or other ways. And I would just like to have conversations with them and see if I can be a part of that, or it doesn't have to be just about me and me alone. I think the one thing that I've learned is it's tough to do something like this all by yourself. And it really does take a lot of people to get it done. And if that's the case, then I'd love to have those conversations, and I will continue to be an advocate for soccer in the Lansing area in any way that I can.
Definitely. And you know, you said it has taken a lot of starch out of you, this endeavor, Jeremy. Has it killed the dream for you of having a professional soccer team like Lansing United in Lansing's backyard?
Yeah, I think that dream is dead. At least it is right now. Now, could it be revived? Certainly. And you know, never say never. But right now, you know, there's only really one professional league at this third division level. There's a couple that are trying to start. Lansing's not a big enough market to be in the second division of U.S. soccer. So when you only have one league to go into and you've had one season and you haven't been able to make it to the second in that season, you know, it's going to be hard to sell that to another ownership group or even to the league that this thing would be viable moving forward.
All right. Before we get you out of here, Jeremy, I want you to just talk to the fans out there, because we've had a few that have, you know, commented and called here on Current Sports in this past week that are, you know, a bit disappointed. You know, they loved having Lansing Ignite a part of the Lansing community. What do you want to say to the fans out there who are listening right now?
I think the biggest thing is just thank you. Thank you for those that started supporting Lansing United back in 2014 and continue to support that venture with the addition of a women's team and then the transition to the professional team. Yeah, there were so many people that purchased tickets or bought gear and showed just this unwavering support. You know, even going as far as the mayor and the city council and other state representatives in this area who threw their support behind our club and our endeavor, you know, what they did, you know, thanks just simply isn't enough. But then you have the assembly line, which is our most ardent supporters. And I feel really badly for them. You know, they put their heart and soul into a club, into an organization. They spent money, they spent time, and they didn't do it for self-gratification. They did it for the players. And talking with some of them in the past couple of days, I know our players have reached out to some of them, have given them jerseys and have made contact in other ways and have shown a lot of class in this situation. And for those guys, again, I will forever be grateful for their support in what we've done. And sometimes, I guess, thank you just doesn't seem like enough. But there's a lot of people that help make this happen, Al, and those guys are right at the top of the list.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy, you have done an amazing job, my friend. And whatever you decide to do from here on out when it comes to soccer here in this area and beyond that, you are going to be successful in it, my man. Thank you so much for your time, all right? Really appreciate you coming on today's Current Sports, Jeremy.
I've always appreciated your support, Al. You've done a great job of talking about our organization from the very beginning and interviews with coaches and players and that stuff. So thank you again for all of your coverage, and I look forward to seeing you at the Michigan State basketball game very soon.
Hey, you got it, my man. Jeremy Sampson of Lansing Ignite. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll have a brief postscript as to what Jeremy had to say live here on the air. Very well said, and again, you know, just unfortunate, you know, because I really thought that Ignite had so much potential after a really, really good first year on the soccer field. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Jeremy Sampson, former VP and GM of Lansing Ignite. We just finished up a talk with him about what led to Ignite being one and done. What's this been like for him? Is the dream, you know, what was really telling for me is when I asked Jeremy about, you know, the dream of having professional soccer here in Lansing, men's professional soccer team here in Lansing, if that dream was dead after looking at what happened after year one with Ignite. And he said, yeah, the dream is dead. And you can tell Jeremy feels a bit defeated right now. because, you know, you undertake something that big and, you know, the marketing campaign behind it and, you know, the community seems to be rallying together. And it's not like Lansing Ignite was a slouch on the soccer field. I mean, this team performed very well, had a great outing in the playoffs. But due to financial concerns, Tom Dixon decided to pull out and end things. That's just the business side of sports, I guess. And really feel for Jeremy. I really feel for Nate, you know, President Greaser as well, the players, the staff. That's just a really, really, really tough story. So, but, you know, many of you are like Ben here on our Facebook page. Ben says, I feel bad for Jeremy. You could definitely hear the hurt and disappointment in his voice, but we wish him all the best going forward. Yeah, that was very evident there. And, you know, we'll see where Jeremy goes from here. What I love, though, is that, again, it's not like, you know, soccer is completely leaving the Lansing area. I mean, pro soccer, I mean, you still got Lansing United. The women's team will continue. As far as the men's go, as you heard Jeremy, that's still up in the air right now. Will we see a men's United team come back? I don't know. Just time will tell. So, but Jeremy, keep your head up, my man. Not a failure. Not a failure. Those who fail are the ones who don't even try. And just giving this thing a shot was pretty admirable. So, all right, with just a minute left here in the hour, I wanted to touch on the Lions. You know, I'm kind of glad I don't have to right now. we'll talk some NFL football and the Lions tomorrow, and I'll have some brief thoughts on the NBA. The Pistons will open up the season tomorrow against Indiana and the Pacers. So I'll have a bit of just a small NBA preview, and we'll also continue a conversation centered on Joshua Langford of the MSU men's basketball program. Josh is out indefinitely until a reevaluation in January. Not great news for Tom Izzo, who got emotional talking about that today. So, until Wednesday, folks, we will see you then. We are on a 23-hour break. Take care and be easy, people.